Hey, you know one of the things that almost every one of us here has in common? We all love a good story. You know it. You guessed it right on there. Maybe it is a story from a book. Maybe it's a story from a movie. Maybe it's a story that you experienced that was kind of embarrassing. It isn't always apparent, though, that we are creating a story. We are creating the story of our life when those things happen. When people ask you about thus and such a story, hey, can you remember, can you tell me? A lot of times we kind of look at that, we dip back into our lives and recall that particular story of our lives, and sometimes it's really embarrassing, and other times, not so much. We feel pretty good about our stories. I don't know about you, but I used to like to ask my parents to tell me some of their stories of growing up. Some of you will understand this. I know the people at Wolgamuth laughed quite a bit this morning, but my dad could tell you how poor he was, how he could walk to school and home again each day, 3 miles uphill both ways. And he was so poor. The soles on his shoes were so thin. Charlie, I don't know if you will believe this, but my dad would tell me he could step on a quarter and tell you whether it was heads or tails. He's not here this morning. He's out partying. So I'll tell that one. But, you know, your parents will have these interesting stories about times before you came along or when they were kids. And life happens. It happens to us as current events. I need an answer right now. Or I need to go back and file that away into the story category that forms my life. Sometimes those looking back stories that we pull up and share are very embarrassing. Other ones are things that when we have to admit to it, or maybe even too painful to tell. Maybe we did something to somebody else that just wasn't appropriate. But all of us make decisions every day that impact the story of our lives. We may not know about it at the moment. We may not think about it at the moment. But eventually it gets packed away into a bunch of stories that is or are the story of our lives. We write our stories one decision at a time. Maybe it is a thoughtful response that helps formulate one particular story, or maybe it's an emotionally charged decision that forms another story. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the fact that there is a correlation between our story. There's a correlation between asking good questions and coming up with good decisions. And those decisions, when followed out on in a very practical way, get filed away in our life story. The first question that we were asking a couple of weeks ago is this. And some of you, you might want to write these down. Am I being honest with myself? Am I being honest with myself? And then there's another word you need to add there. Am I being honest with myself really? Really? I hope over the last few weeks you've been pondering that question that you have asked yourself, am I being really honest with myself here? Sometimes we ask that question and we get to thinking and it's like, oh, I feel bad. But you know what? It's not really that we should feel bad, because where we are is the first thing that we need to acknowledge. so that we can get to where we want to go. The second question is like unto it. Are we closer? Okay, keep going. Keep going. Number one, am I being honest with myself, really? And then the second question is the one that we're going to look at today, and it is this. What story do I want to have told about me? What story do I want to have told about me once the current situation is over? How did I act? How did I respond? How did I, you know, I put that away into part of my story. But when it comes back to talking about that particular story at some other point in time, what kind of a story do I want other people to tell about me? What story do I want to have told? When this season of my life, when this business transaction, when this whatever is reduced to simply a story in my past, what do I want my story to tell? Do I want to be a hero? Do I want to be a villain? Do I want to be a good example, or do I want to be a bad example? What options will make this a story to remember as opposed to one that I hope I never have to tell? What option will make this story one for the ages? What story would I like to be able to look back on and tell my children and my grandchildren with some sense of pride? You know, I decided back then. And yet, every time we make a decision, we, whether we like it or not, whether we realize it or not, every decision that we make has an outcome and a consequence that are a part of our story. I'm glad I never have to deal with this one, okay? And I know some of you think my wife is my boss. I know all of you think that, right? Well, she's not really. Kind of. Your boss, the real boss, the one that has the little name tag that says boss on it, he comes to you and he says, I want you to lie. I want you to lie to the client. And you get in the room with the client and you lie to them, and you know what? They know better. And it comes back to your boss that you lied to your client, and your boss says you're fired. Part of that story isn't so good. You know, you lost out on a job. But what if your boss asks you to lie, and you don't, and you lose your job anyways? That's not a real good story either. Or what if your friends come to you? Now, guys, remind me, okay? College, the weekend starts on Thursday evening, right? It starts on Thursday evening, but you happen to have an exam on a Friday, and your friends want to go out and party with you, or you party with them, right? You've been there, right? You have a choice to make. You can go or stay. See, these guys didn't even give an answer because they didn't even think about them going to the party. You know, all they were thinking about was, there's only one answer here. Study, right? Right, okay, very good. I make you guys look so good, I'll tell you. Anyways, you can either stay home and study, or you can go back and you can party with your friends. But you decide to stay home and study, and you get an A the next day on your exam. And you know what? You look back and you say, hey, every time we have one of these exams and I get asked to go to a party, I stay home and I've gotten A after A after A after A. And after 4 years or 5 years or 6 years or 7 years or eight, how many ever you go to school, you graduate as an A student. You have a pretty good story now, don't you? I studied, I worked hard, I got my degree. You see, decision by decision, you are writing your own story. With every decision you make, you are telling a story. Struggle here is that oftentimes while we're writing this story, we aren't really thinking about writing a story. All we're doing is trying to make some decisions that help us get to tomorrow. You lose a job, and one day you will have a story to tell your family. You can say, I lost my job, I got embarrassed, I started drinking, I racked up debt, I lost the respect of my friends. And while losing a job isn't great, in fact, it's terrifying, ask me. The decision to follow up, and how you respond to the decisions that follow will either help you have a good story at the end or just one that leaves you with more tragedy and hurt. The struggle is that when we're making this story, we aren't thinking about it as a story. We're trying to make some decisions. The other thing about this is that most decisions are usually affected by strong emotions. How many of... No, I won't ask you to show me a sign of hands here. Marry me or I'm leaving. Do this or lose your job. Maybe you're in retail and you'll understand this better, but they say that in retail, you never let the customer go out of the store without making a purchase. You know why? Because you have invested in them. Mary, you come to my store, and I know you want this, and I want to make the sale, and I'm working, and we're building a relationship, and then you say, well, I got to go check with my husband. You know. You don't have to check with him. You just go ahead and do it. You want to get out of the store. Well, you know what? That retailer watches you. Leave that store, and he's thinking, always get them to sign up before they leave. Why? Because they have invested in you, the purchaser. They have invested, time and energy and tried to move you as close to saying yes to that sale as possible. And you know that once they leave the store, they will probably forget about all that emotional stuff that you have been trying to pump into them, and they'll never be back again. Looking for some retailers here that'll say, yep, that's right, that's right, that's right. Struggle here is that we can't always make that decision for somebody else. In psychology, this is called focalizing. That is, we can get in our minds that one issue, one answer, one way of doing it is true, and everything can kind of get caught around this one thing, this emotion, this way of thinking, this everything else. Focalizing. We can get so caught up in it that we forget all of the other options. We forget all the other ways of thinking. And we think in terms only of options and not a story. So anytime you have a decision to make that has any kind of strong emotional appeal, you know what you need to do? You need to hit pause, right. You need to hit pause and think it over. The fact of the matter is it may be a great investment. She might be the one or he might be the one. It may be a great job, but you, when surrounded by emotions and making a decision, you have to hit pause and think about it in terms of the larger context of your life. Now we get to the Bible, all right? We've already gone through 20 minutes, but here we go. We get to the Bible here. Joseph is a great study in this. Most of you know this story, so I will give you a very condensed version. About 1800 BC, a teenage boy finds himself in a situation not of his own making. His dad thought him as the favored son. She thought that way because Joseph's mother was his favorite wife. And he just kind of took care of old Joseph while the rest of the boys slept in the bunkhouse. Joseph enjoyed a bedroom in the main house. It was his dad's favorite, which fueled the fire of his brothers. Eventually, jealousy gets the best of them, and in the end, they want to kill Joseph, but eventually they decide, oh, let's just sell him. Let's just sell him, which is a bit more merciful, yes. Certainly much more profitable. So they sell him as a slave to slave traders on their way to Egypt. They tell their dad he was attacked by a wild animal. And these 10 young men have a secret that they must live with for the rest of their lives. A secret that is so embarrassing. We were so jealous. The 10 of us were so jealous of our little brother that we beat him up and sold him. How would you like that in your story? All right. Now, I know there's a few sisters here thinking about their brothers. And say, you know, I don't know that that would be all that bad, but so jealous. They beat him and sold him. Who wants to tell that story? We broke our father's heart. We are liars for life. You decide to do anything that makes you a liar for life, you better realize that you'll carry that the rest of your future. So Joseph is sold as a slave to a military commander, an Egyptian military commander by the name of Potiphar, right? Now, another decision. Joseph's been sold. Now he's got to ask the question, do I try to break out, you know, get away from this? Do I do as little as possible, or do I throw myself into this slave thing? And it's what makes his story relatable to a lot of us. None of it is his fault. His story is that he's commandeered by evil and selfish people in his own family. So why should he try? Why should he care? Somebody has decided to send his story in a bad direction. But he refuses to quit. He refuses to let fate play out. Rather, he serves Potiphar like Potiphar's property is Joseph's property. And eventually Potiphar keeps seeing this and he gives him more responsibility, and eventually he is in charge of all of Potiphar's house. That is a story worth telling. I'm beaten up, I'm sold twice, I'm a victim, but I persevered. Right? Good story. Good story. But then the music changes. He goes from la da 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 to all of a sudden, bum 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 bum. Because Joseph's story matches up with Potiphar's wife's story. Joseph ends up in another one of those no-win situations. She wants him to be her lover, maybe one of many lovers, And Joseph basically has two options. Neither of them are all that good. In that culture, this wasn't so much a moral issue for Joseph as much as it was a life or death issue. In fact, you might say a death or death issue. 19-year-old kid, he's employed, he's doing great, and now he's forced where he must use a powerful technique to try to get him out of this situation. He rehearses his story aloud as a response to Mrs. Potiphar. Thus, it shows him he's understanding that this is part of a larger story which will make up Joseph's life. And it shows it this way, and I'm paraphrasing this. "Ma'am, I came to this land a slave," he said to Mrs. Potiphar. "Your husband purchased me, and I have served him well. Through my hard work and God's goodness, your husband has put me in charge of everything that belongs to you. My story is getting better and better and better. With me in charge, he doesn't have to worry about anything because he doesn't have to. He has entrusted me and withheld from me nothing except you. Mrs. Potiphar, do you really want a Hebrew slave as part of your story? In the light of the goodness of God and your husband's confidence, how can I sin against God? Mrs. Potiphar, do you really want to add adultery to what's turning out to be a pretty good story for me? I have earned somebody's trust. I took advantage of somebody who trusted me and violated their wife. Which story do you want me to tell, Mrs. Potiphar? Which story?" And Joseph has chosen again the right story. He does the right thing, but the right thing doesn't turn out for Joseph. She accuses him of trying to rape her, and Joseph goes to Pharaoh's dungeon. The music changes. Doom, 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 doom. Joseph decides in the dungeon, what will he do now? And he decides he'll do what he did at Potiphar's house. And he decides, well, he eventually gets the favor of the prison warden. Eventually, he's running the place. Several years later, several years later, he is brought before Pharaoh to interpret a dream that Pharaoh has had. And Pharaoh's thinking, hey, somehow this dream is related to my kingdom. I just can't figure it out. Then in a surprise move, they bring Joseph in his smelly dungeon clothes. Oh, we got this guy that's been pretty good at interpreting dreams. And Joseph, of all things, says, King, I have to inform you, I'm sorry about all this, but I can't interpret your dream either. But God, the Hebrew God, a dangerous thing to say around an Egyptian king who thinks he himself is a god. He says, I think that between God and I, we can get you an answer. And Pharaoh, who at that moment could have been very furious because, another god, he lets Joseph proceed. And Joseph, according to the dream, says, listen, Egypt is in for 7 really. No, we always get the good before we get the bad. Okay, so 7 good years of harvest. Then, I'm sorry to tell you, Mr. King, but then it will be followed by 7 bad years of drought. Now, back in that day, bread was a key staple of their diets. They didn't have, what's that stuff now? Gluten-free, they didn't push that stuff back then. You make bread. And so they would eat their bread as a staple part. And Joseph is saying, you know, what should I do? What should I not do? And, you know, in fact, they expected them to just kind of grab Joseph by the arms. He still smells a little dungeony on his clothes, and just walk him out of the room and dump him back down in the dungeon. But Joseph waits around for a few minutes, and he says, listen, you need to have somebody on this grain thing right away. It's coming, and you better be prepared. And Pharaoh, who's not used to taking unsolicited advice, says, what should we do? You ever hear crickets on a late dark night? That's what they had, crickets on a late dark night. Nobody was saying anything. Here's some advice, Mr. Pharaoh. Somebody needs to be preparing for what's going to happen. Still crickets. Everyone's watching to see what happens to this arrogant Hebrew boy. And Pharaoh asks, can we find anyone like this man in whom is the spirit of, capital G, God? And since God has made known to him, there is no one so discerning or as wise as you. And then shock and awe. Here we go. Are you ready? This is shock and awe. He says to him, you who smell like the dungeon, you are the one in charge in my palace and my people and all of us and all of that will submit to you. Only in the throne room will I be greater than you. And in that moment, Pharaoh makes Joseph the prime minister of Egypt. And once again, Joseph decides well, and he devotes himself to this unprecedented opportunity. 7 years of crops, 7 years of droughts. Once everybody's finally taken the last can of, I don't know what it is that they grain, all right? They take the last can of grain out of their closets. They're all thinking, what do we do? And all of a sudden, there's, it comes on the TV. There is this great set of silos in Egypt, and all the families, all the people from the surrounding areas begin to caravan to Egypt. And one of those caravans was Joseph's family's, his brothers. Right? And Joseph happens to be out one day just kind of making sure everybody's, you know, in those lines that go like an S, and you know, and you're spending more time turning than you actually are walking. He sees his brothers. And in the end, you know, they're like, well, we don't know this guy. It's been 30 years. But in the end, he begins to explain who he is and why they're here and, you know, all he's gone through. And they are actually terrified. Oh, what's Dad going to say? And they realize they didn't enjoy any mercy or have the right to any mercy. But Joseph wasn't like his brothers. You know why? Throughout his life, Joseph refused to act. In the process, though, he didn't understand or didn't comprehend or just didn't click into that hate mode. He decided against the gravitational pull to get him. He's free. He's writing his own story. And he decides to finish his story in a better direction and be a story with story upon story upon story that is so much worth telling. And in that moment, he decides revenge will be no part of his story, and he rescues Egypt, and he rescues the surrounding areas, and he moves his own family to Egypt. And that is a story worth telling. A story he decided one decision at a time. You better be thankful that Pat shouted that out, because I was going to start all over. All right. Which brings us back this morning to you. What story do you want to tell? What story do you want others to tell of you? Like Joseph and his brothers, you are writing your story. One decision at a time. Don't ever, never write a story. Choose an ending that people will look back upon that makes you a dirty, underhanded backstabber for life. Long after you gain whatever it is that you just had to have at this moment, you will be left with a story that you won't really want to have told or really want to admit. Relationally, spiritually, professionally, academically, we are all required and faced with making decisions. And one by one, they form our story. So make decisions that will make your story the one that you want to hear, that makes you the hero, not the villain. The story that will make you proud, and your children be proud, and your grandchildren be proud, and they look back and say, Grandpa, tell us that story again. It's the story of you. Heavenly Father, we realize that you have given us the real benefit, Lord, of knowing your hand and your heart and helping us, Lord, to understand how we fit into the purposes and plans of your kingdom with our story. So, Lord, help all of us to just daily be careful, be conscious, to make sure we make good decisions so that our story is one that's really, truly worth telling. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.